Well, it is good to be back. Appreciate the invitation to share a few words with you and the class as well. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is messaging to the Corinthian brethren about how we live, and it's encouraging to think about it, but it also has a lot of meaning more than just kind of the short summary that he gives here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. He says, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." And then he goes on and says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." It is always a moment at a funeral service for a member, a child of God, that Paul's perspective kind of comes back to us, because when we leave a place, we typically say, well, I'm gone from home, and so I'm absent from that place, and it's always good to get back home. Coming back here obviously is somewhat home, but when you think about coming back to the place where you think you should belong. And it's interesting that Paul's perspective is, while we're in this world, we're actually absent from the Lord. And so for a child of God, it is a perspective that we should keep in mind as we go through this life. We sing about it, the world's not our home. But that's not the message for this morning. It certainly sets the context of how we're oriented. Where is our home? Where are we absent from? Paul said, I'm absent from the Lord. And so he certainly knew he had a role and a work that he was doing for the Lord on this earth. But then his second message in verse 7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." What does it mean to walk by faith? What does it mean to live by faith? And it's another song that we sing. And it is interesting that Paul acknowledges that he walks by faith, not by sight. If Paul walked by sight, he would probably have kind of folded up shop and kind of gone home, so to speak. He certainly had a lot of difficulty, particularly with his conversion and those days following it. What does it mean to walk and to live by faith? And that's what we want to study this morning, is to understand what it means to live by faith. We need to understand faith, because it's easy to say we live by faith. And you talk to some people and they're stressed about, even Christians who profess to live by faith, they're stressed because they don't see the end. They don't really see how it's going to come out. And they say, well, I want to have confidence in how this is going to turn out before I do it. Well, that's not living by faith sometimes. Sometimes living by faith is just taking the next step, not knowing the end, but knowing that we are living by faith, not by what we can see. And that's Paul's message here. Hebrews chapter 11. When we utter those words, though, that we live by faith, that we walk by faith, what are we saying? Well, first we have to understand what faith is. Let's understand faith. Many people believe faith comes from an innate belief in something that just trusts. So you've seen some of these, sometimes they have these corporate games, I guess, to build teams, and you stand up and you fall back and your teammates are supposed to catch you, and that's kind of building faith. That's not what the Bible is talking about. It's not a blind faith. It's not a faith without any foundation. It's not a faith in something that is defined by man. But as Christians, we need to understand what faith is if we're going to live by faith. Living by faith isn't defined by living by what we think, living by what we can see, living by what we have confidence in. And so Paul was acknowledging to the Corinthian brethren that we live by faith, we walk by faith. What does that mean? To understand that, we have to understand faith as a foundation. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the Hebrew writer says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We don't often talk about faith and evidence together. Many people talk about a blind faith. And a faith that is blind is not the faith that is described in Scripture. The faith that is described in Scripture has evidence. We can go to Romans 1, and God's given us by the creation of the world. He says the invisible things are clearly seen, even His eternal power and Godhead. What is that mean? It's the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We'll come back to this chapter toward the end. But do we live by faith? Do we walk by faith? We walk, and is our substance founded in and grounded in the evidence? Do we believe God? Do we believe His Word? Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. A very straightforward definition of faith. We know it well in verse 17. He says, faith comes by hearing. It's how we get faith. Hearing by the Word of God. Many people hear things and they're inspired by things. They're inspired by messages. They're emotionally uplifted. They may even have greater confidence in something, and it may give them confidence to make decisions. But it's not the faith if it's not God's Word. And so we have to make sure that we can understand the difference. If we're going to walk by faith, it's not walking according to the latest motivational message or latest and greatest speech or latest and greatest thinking. It's walking and living by the Word of God, because He tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so to live by faith means we need to understand what faith is. And as Paul said, we walk by faith, not by sight. Look in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus in responding to Satan through his time at this period of time of temptation. Wasn't certainly the only time Jesus was tempted. But if you remember Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was tempted when the tempter came in verse 3. He said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. And now this was, remember, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights in verse 2. So obviously he was hungry. I'm sure he was, it said afterward he was a hunger. I'm sure he was hungry well up before that point. And so here's the temptation Satan was going to put before him. Jesus' response shows us, when Paul said we walk by faith, Jesus also said in verse 4, he answered, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. And obviously he's quoting and referencing the Old Testament words. But here's how we should live. He says, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He could have substituted and said, but man lives by faith. Why? Because Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Jesus says the same thing. That we don't just live by bread alone. Just because we have physical nourishment, just because we have manna from heaven, like they did in the Old Testament, we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Are we living by faith? Well, if we're living by something other than what proceeds from the mouth of God, we're not truly living by faith. And we shouldn't live by bread alone. We obviously need nourishment and bread to eat and to live and sustain ourselves physically. But it's not by bread alone. We should live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's faith. And so as we walk, as we live, as we look at decisions that we make, as we look at judgments that we make, are we living by bread alone, or are we living by faith? John chapter 6, Jesus, very similar message about who He is. John chapter 6. And we just memorialized His body and blood through partaking of the Lord's Supper as a reminder by command of the sacrifice He made, the life that He lived in love, the example that He left for us. John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. Verse 48, He says, I am that bread of life. In chapter 1 and verse 1, John begins to introduce Jesus to us, if you recall the beginning of this book, that He is the bread of life. He's the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was from God. How are we living? How are we walking? What does it mean to live by faith? Well, living by faith doesn't mean living by my best judgment, living based on kind of making a decision on the information that I have and kind of hoping it works out. Living on a knowledge, a professing God, and trusting that He'll work out whatever I do. sometimes we have that approach as well, as we kind of make a decision and then we say, well, I'm living by faith because I don't really know. I hope it works out. It's a blind faith. And we never go to God's Word for guidance. We never go to God's Word to understand what He would want us to do. And that's not living by faith. And sometimes when it doesn't work out, it's like, well, maybe that's God's will. Maybe it was. But if we're not living by faith, if we don't understand faith, we'll not understand that it leads back to His Word. And so walking by faith and living by faith first means we need to understand what faith is. Living by faith in Galatians chapter 2 is to be just. It's also to be justified. Galatians chapter 2. We'll see many references. We're not going to go through them all this morning. But if we live by faith, what does that do for us? It is to be just. It is not to live after our own will, after our own kind of thinking or mindset. And sometimes people say, well, I believe in God, I profess God, I know of God. We talked about that, or I guess I talked about that in the Bible class. I know of God, and I live my life, and therefore I must be living by faith. But if we're not living by the Word of God, we're not walking by faith. Galatians chapter 2, look at Paul and his message to those in Galatia, verse 20. Again, another passage we know well. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But he clarifies. He says, oh, I don't live like everyone lives. I don't live by my own judgment and life and desire and will because I'm crucified with Christ. But I live, but it's not me. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And so the life I now live in the flesh, the life I live while I'm absent from the Father, the life I'm living on this earth, not by bread alone, he says, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so he's making a distinction. The purpose with which he lives, the walk that he walks, he says, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And that was the message, the same message to the Corinthian brethren. Life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's how Paul lived. That's how he wanted us to remind ourselves about how we should live. To live by faith is to be just. Look at Romans chapter 1. Really in the midst of what we first referenced, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Romans chapter 1. Right before Paul discusses the evidence through the creation of the Godhead, the invisible things that have been revealed from the creation, the power of God, the Godhead. In verse 16, he tells them, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God toward salvation, unto salvation. But for whom? The power is there, but for whom will it be used for? To everyone that believes. And then he makes an important distinction. Not just for the Jews, but he says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Not just for those that were under the old law, but now that middle wall of partition is torn down. We have all been made one. But notice in verse 17 he goes on. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. How? From faith to faith. How did God reveal his will? All the way back in the garden, starting. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. What did the Hebrew writer say in Hebrews chapter 11? By faith Abel offered sacrifice. It was accepted. Abel heard the word of God and he was obedient. This faith has been there. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The law changed. The law was different. The law came into effect in the Old Testament and then changed to the New Testament. And before the Old Testament, law was faith. Paul says in verse 17, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. To live by faith means we are just. Because that's what the just do. They live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. And that word just is literally equitable. Equitable, live by faith. Hebrews chapter 10. Just before launching into this chapter of faith in chapter 11 that we refer to so often, but in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 36, the Hebrew writer is reminding them of what they have committed to, what they're going to be going through, the bonds, the torment, the persecutions. Verse 36, he says, "You have need of patience, that after having done the will of God, you might receive the promise." He says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry." Verse 38, he says, "Now the just shall live by faith." To live by faith is to be just, be equitable. To hear the word of God, to live by that word of God, not by our own kind of will and way and feeling and emotion and doubt and fear and pride, perhaps. He says, "The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." We are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. If you hold your place here, if you look at the passage we just read in Romans 1, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. The just live by faith. We're not of those that draw back. We're not of those that look at the waves and the sea and the tempest of life and begin to draw back and sink. Or those that are like some that rage because what we think and the way we think it should be isn't the way God said it should be. And we design and devise and follow our own thinking or others' thinking. He says the just will live by faith. The gospel is the power unto salvation. And the Hebrew writer says, we are of those that believe to the saving of the soul. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Just after acknowledging that all have sinned in verse 23, Paul goes on and says in verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation, how? Through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of who? Of him which believes in Jesus. To live by faith is to be just and to be justified. How are we justified? It is through him which believes. It's those that believe in Jesus. But not just a mental ascension that Jesus is real or is alive. We'll see that the following passage. But look back up in verse 22. He said, even the righteousness of God, notice, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. All have sinned. We're justified freely by His grace. We have the gospel, the power to salvation. We are of those that believe to the saving of the soul. But we walk by faith. If we don't walk by faith, we're not just. If we don't walk by faith, we're not justified. And so we need to understand what it means to live by faith, to walk by faith. Those things are important. And if we don't understand what faith is, then we won't be just and we won't be justified. Look in James chapter 1, so many times, and if you look at the parable of the sower, to live by faith is to have our faith tested, and that's a hard one. Sometimes to live by faith, we have a thinking that everything should work out fine, that things should just go our way. And I usually like it when things go my way. And I generally expect things will go my way, and a lot of times I get disappointed. Other people expect things not to go their way, and they kind of live in a pessimistic kind of environment and kind of mentality. But as Christians, the hard truth is that if we're going to live by faith and walk by faith, we're going to have our faith tested. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Why? He says, knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Some people say, well, to live by faith means I can trust that God will take care of me, and He will. To live by faith means I can not worry about how things will work out as long as I am obedient to God. And that's true too, but to live by faith means we have our faith tested. And it comes through temptations. It comes through trials. It comes through hardships. It comes through sorrows. And the parable of the sower shows how that falls out on the ground to those that are not expecting it. To those that maybe with joy hear the gospel that is the power unto salvation. But when their faith is tested, they say, well, this isn't the walk I signed up for. This is not the path that I thought I would have to go down. I wanted to live by faith. I wanted to acknowledge God and have Him know me and then inherit eternal life. And that is true and that will happen. But to live by faith is to have the faith tested. Will we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God when we're tested? And so James lays this process out, and he gives us the purpose for this process. When you have these different temptations, whether it's by sickness or health, problems and weaknesses and financial challenges perhaps, or challenges in relationships, problems at work or at school, or just in our lives in general, he tells us, let patience have her perfect work. Go through it with knowledge. Go through it with the same confidence that Paul had, saying, I'm absent from the Lord, I'm walking by faith. Paul understood what it meant to walk by faith. It was not a walk in the proverbial park, so to speak. Walking by faith and living by faith is to have our faith tested. 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter says much the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His abundant mercies, begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you." And that sounds wonderful, and it is, but that's not all there is to it. Because to live by faith means our faith is going to be tested. And he goes on to say, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations." The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Not at the end of the week and that's you're done. Not at the end of the month and you've kind of put your service in. It's whenever Christ comes back. And if our life ends before that time, it then is through our lifetime. And he's reminding us that walking and living by faith is not just existing in this world. It's not just listening to whoever we want, including our own sight and mind and knowledge. It's to live by the Word of God. It's to be just, be justified, by his righteousness through obedience. But our faith will be tested. And it can cause us sorrow. It can cause discouragement. It can cause bitterness. It can cause resentment. If we go through that without knowledge, if we don't understand the point James made, if we don't understand why these things happen, they're for our good. Why? Because to live by faith means our faith is tested. Paul understood that all too well. And he suffered shipwreck. He suffered being robbed. He suffered being beaten and stoned. Persecution. Desertment. Just like Christ did. Genesis chapter 22. Faith before the law. Genesis chapter 22. The trying of your faith works patience. Let patience have her perfect work. We rejoice greatly, though we are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 11. We won't read the entire context. I think we're well familiar. Isaac is the source, if you will. And Abraham is the one being tested. Abraham had been promised a son for many years before the promise was fulfilled, and now he was there. And now the Lord said, this of whom your seed is going to be called is one who you need to kill. Offer as a sacrifice in Genesis 22 and verse 2. What a test. What a test. Imagine slaying your son. We don't know how exactly old Isaac was at the time, although some say he wasn't a teenager. It wouldn't have been a temptation. But he was older, old enough to know what was going on. God told Abraham to offer him up. Abraham looks in verse 11. The angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him, for now I know that you fear God. When did God know? When did that become evident? Well, it was after Abraham had made the journey, getting up early in the morning, preparing the sacrifice, binding Isaac in verse 9, putting Isaac on top of the wood, taking the knife to slay his son. See, it wasn't just when he got up that morning and early in the morning. It wasn't just on the way. It wasn't just as he was gathering wood. It wasn't just as... It was right then at that moment. He was ready to slay his son. And God spared him and he let him know, now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld thine only son. Abraham lived by faith. His faith was tested. James chapter 2 sheds more light on this aspect of living by faith and what that will involve. And James also, if you recall, as we were just in, told us why it involves that. It's for the perfecting of our heart so that we can be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. But in James chapter 2, he asked the question, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he'd offered Isaac his son on the altar? Faith comes by hearing God's word. Abraham heard God's word and was obedient to it, even to the point of offering his only son on that altar. To live by faith is to be just and justified. James's question, was not Abraham our father justified by works? And there the connection between faith and works. The last point is to live by faith, is to have works of faith. Back up a few verses in verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe there's one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. You used to think devils were probably the farthest end of the spectrum on those that were against God and didn't acknowledge God or hated God even. But when you look at at devils, you don't really think about them of having faith because they really don't, because they're not obedient. But James says, you say you have faith. Verse 19, it's not really faith. You say, I believe. You believe in one God. Well, that's not bad. But it's no different than a devil. And most people wouldn't equate those two things. James's point is, if you're going to live by faith, you have to have works of faith. It means you'll have works of faith. What works of faith do you have? Do you have a living faith? Or is your faith not identified with works? What kind of works do we have? Works of obedience. Galatians chapter 2. What works of faith do we have? And if we have no works of faith, then we aren't living by faith. We aren't walking by faith. We're not justified by faith. If we're justified by the works we desire to do that are works of darkness, then we're not justified by faith. Galatians chapter 2. Paul, a little earlier from where he read verse 16, he confirms a man is not justified by the works of the law in verse 16, referring to the Old Testament law, but notice, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even as we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by works of the law, for by works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We are justified by the faith of Jesus Christ, not by works of the Old Testament law, but we're also not justified by no works. And some want to throw out all the works of the Old Testament law, which have been thrown out. We're not justified by that law. But we are justified by the faith of Christ. A faith that is tested. A faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. A faith that lives and has works as well. John chapter 6, Jesus, in response to a question about works, shows a type of work. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 28. He was asked, they said to him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Now, what Jesus didn't say was, this is the only work of God. There is only one work of God, it's just to believe. James clarifies, the devils believe. But I think anybody would be hard pressed to deny the devils are not working the works of God. They're not just, and they're not justified. They're not walking by faith. They're not living by faith. They don't understand faith. Perhaps they understand it. They're not committed to it. They're not fighting through temptations. They're in the process of giving temptations. But to have faith is to have works of faith. If you go back to James chapter 2, James is clarifying, confirming verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified. Not by works of righteousness we have done and defined, and not by works of the Old Testament law, but by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the faith that comes by hearing God's word, the faith that makes us just and justified, and the works of faith. In verse 24, you see how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. The question is, are we living by faith? Are we walking by faith? If we are living by faith, we need to understand where our direction comes from and to whom and for whom we're living, by whose authority we are living, and we have to be comforted in the fact that it is the power of salvation. And that we are just, and we're justified by doing that, But it also means our faith is going to be tested. And we'll have glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ if we are faithful, if that faith lives, and if that faith has works. We'll close with Hebrews chapter 11. For some, that pathway sounds great. For some, part of the pathway sounds great. The part about being just and justified, being guided by God's word, perhaps. Maybe not so much to having our faith tested. Maybe not so much to having works of faith. I'd rather just believe. But we don't have the option to parse it out, because to live by faith is all of that. And then we come in Hebrews chapter 11 to the conclusion that he tells us in verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. There's no other way to please him but through faith. Through living by faith, walking in faith. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then he goes on to describe all of those who have lived a life of faith and in faith. And Paul affirms that we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk according to all of these things. We are bound by God's word and live that word. We are confident in the salvation ahead for those that are just and have been justified. But knowing our time on this earth, we are absent from the Lord, and that we will be tested and tried and tempted. And it's a painful process. But that we will triumph in the end. And that our works of faith will justify us. This morning, if you have not committed yourself to this path, it is not a commitment that is light. It's not a commitment that's made flippantly. It's not a commitment that is made without thinking. But if you've not made it and want to please God, that's the way to please God. It's to having believed that his Son came to this earth, believed that he reigns today. He has all power and authority in heaven and earth. He has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Romans chapter 10. He wants us to live for him. He is wanting us to understand there's a day of judgment. Romans chapter 17. That he desires that we confess his name with our mouth. That we live for him. Put him on in baptism. Rising to walk in newness of life. A life of faith. Romans chapter 6. Fighting sin. Fighting temptation. But that we will live eternally with him if we live faithful and are justified by him. If you decide that you would like to make that commitment, if not, that's the first step. And then living and walking a life of faith, having his strength, having his guidance from his word, we can live faithfully in faith and be justified, be with him forever one day. If you've done those things and need the prayers of the church, whatever your need is, you can make it known while we stand and while we sing.